Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you who had no sin became sin for us. And therefore, Asher, who was born sinful, just like all of us, who was born with original sin, has now, through simple water and your mighty word, been given the promise of everlasting life. And through his parents and sponsors, he'll be reminded day after day that you reached into this world and you chose him as your child. And all of heaven rejoices, as it says in Luke 15. All of heaven rejoices when one repents, when one comes to the Father. And Lord, today all of heaven is rejoicing and celebrating Asher's new birth through water and the Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you want us to know this love that you've lavished upon us. You want us to know the power of your Spirit in our lives. So we pray, O Lord, as we hear your word today, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would be transformed by your Spirit, that we'd be transformed to live as your people and to declare your love through our words and deeds. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. You ever thought about those words? First of all, it's a question. But he gives us the answer at the end of the verse. It says, how great, how awesome, how amazing, how unbelievable, how truly mind-blowing, to put it in contemporary terms, is the love that the Father has lavished on us. Depending on what translation of the Bible you have, they won't use the word bestow. Because this word, didomai, can be translated bestow. But I happen to like the NIV version here where it says lavish. Because when I was growing up and I heard the pastor say lavish, I thought to myself of those wonderful pictures you have when you're a young person, you dream big dreams of when you would wake up after winning a huge amount of money, which never really worked for me after I got filled with the Holy Spirit because I didn't buy lottery tickets anymore. So it could never happen. But, you know, the idea that you would have everything that you ever wanted. And that was the idea of lavished. That it was an abundance. That it was just this tremendous gift. And when I hear the word lavished, does it give you a picture of just this amazing, overflowing abundance? Do you get that picture from that word? See, when I hear the word bestowed, I think of it as a gift and as an honor. But when I hear the word lavished, just because of my history, I think of it as an abundance. It's like a waterfall. It's just an amazing and wonderful gift. And so when St. John says in his first letter to the churches, he says that we should be called children of God because God has lavished this great love upon us. It makes sense to us when we understand the price of that love. For John uses the same language when he's writing his gospel, and he tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, many of you know this, at least you should. If you went to a football game or something, you'll see it. Someone will always have a thing, John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. read that as we were preparing for the baptism day, right? John understood that when the Father lavished this great love upon us, it was at a price. And the price was that His only begotten Son, Jesus, would be born in that manger, would live His life, would spend 3 years in ministry, and then would die a horrible death for us. Even though He had no sin of His own, He would take all of the sins, past, present, and future, upon Himself on the tree at Calvary. That's the love that He's talking about here. That's the great love that is lavished upon us. The love that was sacrificial, the love that is willing to give a life, a pure life, a holy life for us. You see why bestowed just didn't quite do it for me? You see why the word lavish doesn't quite, even though it's an amazing word, doesn't quite give us the whole picture of what that means? You see why He asked it as a question? How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us? Can we ever on this side of heaven truly appreciate how great the Father's love is for us? That's a question. Will we ever truly appreciate, as sinful human beings, the love of a perfect God who would send His only Son into the flesh to be that once and for all sacrifice for us? Can we truly understand the love that it would take? We've all heard examples of sacrifice, right? I was a chaplain for the Legion, and I got to hear great stories of sacrifice, of people throwing themselves on grenades like you see it in the movies, but actually hearing stories of people doing sacrificial things for the love of the brother. And I would think, wow, that's amazing, throwing themselves in front of people and doing sacrificial things. And I would go, wow, that's amazing. And yet, it's hard for us to fully appreciate what it was like and the injustice that it was to have a perfect, sinless human being die on the cross for us. Some of you might have seen the movie Passion. And when I watched that movie, what always amazed me was at the time of Jesus' death, there's this big drop of water that comes down. And it's a tear from the Father for what's happening because of His love for His Son. How great is the Father's love for us? How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us? That we should be called what? Children of God. And you know why that term, children of God, is so important? I'll tell you why. Because John does something that is very unusual. He reiterates the importance of it by saying, for that is who we are. You see, if you came in today and looked at the sign, you probably noticed that there are three words that we like to use to define the ministry of the church of Jesus Christ, specifically cross and resurrection, as we do ministry here at Eastern Michigan University in Ypsilanti, out in Tecumseh and in Lenawee County. As we reach out, there are three words we use to define who we are. And the first word we use, these are all words that start with B. So the most important thing about us is that we not only do, but we be the children of God. But what's the first word? Belong. And what we experienced today was where the journey of belonging begins for many of us. It's in the waters of holy baptism. It's in that knowledge that Jesus died for us. And even if we're not baptized, it's still true. He died for us. But when we're baptized, He reaches in through simple water and His word, and He confirms and declares through the pastor, whoever else is doing the baptism, He confirms what He has done in redeeming Asher in this case to be his child. And in so many churches, my experience was that if you believed what they believed, and if you became like them, then and only then could you belong. Have you ever experienced that? It's really a club mentality, isn't it? If you want to be a part of a club, you have to agree with what the club teaches. Then you have to show your dedication, loyalty to the club, and then you can become a part of the club. But Jesus does things the opposite, doesn't he? He always turns things around. He always takes the things that we do as sinful human beings and turns them upside down. And what does he do? He says to all people, when he died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he said to all people, "I love you. And whether or not you believe me, you belong to me." Isn't that what he said? I mean, John makes it very clear as he writes in John chapter 3, verse 16. He says, "For God so loved who? The world." Does that mean only those who understand and believe in him? Trust in him? No. "For God so loved the world that he was willing to take the action of sending his only begotten Son into the flesh to redeem the world." Now, I want to be careful here. And I don't want you leaving here today and saying, "Well, that pastor was awesome because he just said everybody's going to heaven." Because that's what people might perceive, isn't it? We talk about everyone belongs to Jesus. He paid the price for all sin, past, present, and future. But that isn't where it stops. It would be a travesty if Asher was baptized today and his parents and sponsors didn't do what they promised today in raising him to understand and to believe and to ultimately at his confirmation confess what he's been given. Wouldn't it be a travesty? Wouldn't it be? It would be a travesty. It would be an indictment on us as the church because we didn't remind them. And I will remind you so you're aware. Yeah, that's my promise. But it would be a travesty on us if we never reminded them and we didn't take some responsibility for it. But also, it would be a travesty because it's a tremendous gift that Asher has received today. It's eternal life. And yet, if he doesn't understand or appreciate what he has, it doesn't change the fact that it belongs to him, that he belongs to Jesus. What it does do is doesn't allow him to go to the next step, which is belief. And isn't that what St. John says in 1 John chapter 1, or chapter 3, sorry, verse 1? He says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. For that is who we are." But then he goes on to say, "But when he appears, we will be like him." That we should know who we are, that we should have knowledge and trust and a relationship with him. We use the word believe following belong. We say everybody belongs to God and it's our job to let them know it. So that they can believe in it, which the word believe here, we use the word yada, which is the Hebrew word, not the Greek word, which is all about up here, because yada speaks of relationship. Yada is an intimate knowledge. It speaks of relationship. And we want people to understand that God did it all for us. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. There's nothing in our works that gives us anything of value in regards to our salvation, is it? Can we do anything to earn God's favor? Nix. Nothing. Nothing. We can do nothing to earn God's favor. And yet, we go from the understanding that we belong because Jesus has done it all, because God so loved the world that he sent his Son into the world to die so that we could be redeemed. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's what John 3, 16 and 17 says. So we go on to that relationship. And that's why as Asher grows in years, we place in his hands the Holy Scriptures to teach him the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. Bring him to the services of God's house. Bring him to the Lord's table. All those things are so that he can be in that relationship with our living Lord, right? That he can believe. Not because he got it up here, but because he understands it here. Longest distance in the world, right? From here to here. So that he's in relationship. So he has that yada of knowing the Lord as his Lord and Savior. Knowing the love that he has for him. And then finally, becoming. And what St. John goes on to say is, we are purified because Christ is pure. We no longer want to live in sin because Christ has overcome sin. We are liars if we say we have no sin, because that's not true. But we're also fake if we don't try to be as we live out our sanctification, which means we're justified by grace through faith. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. But as we walk in that relationship and that yada, we want to be more like our Father. We want to be loving. We want to be filled with joy. We want to show the truth. We want to be light and salt in the world. We want to do these things because we know who we are as children of God. And so he goes on to say some pretty powerful words, I think. He says, as we try to fathom this great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, he goes on to say, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him, yet we know him. He says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What he's saying there is when the day of judgment comes, we're going to be able to stand there, and God won't be judging us as individuals, but he'll be judging us as children of God. He'll be looking at us, and instead of seeing all of our sin and all of our failures and all of our attempts at living a holy life and a pure life and trying to please him, all of our attempts to try to earn the salvation that we think we can earn as sinful human beings, he says, no, he's not going to see that. What he's going to see is Jesus. And then he goes on to say, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What does this mean? This means that as we know, and this is why I wanted to start with belong. So I don't want you to leave here today thinking, well, you know, the pastor just told me I need to work on being pure. Because that's not where the motivation comes from. When we understand that we belong to Jesus and we try so hard with our puny brains to fathom the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, it motivates us to see ourselves as God sees us, through the lens of His Son. We see ourselves as children of God, as heirs of eternal life, as people who have received the promise that all creation was intended for, which is to spend eternity with the Savior, to spend eternity with God. And that we would then live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God, not because we have to, but because we want to. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a pure life, not because of, which I guess is fine to have a fear of judgment, because we should fear the Lord. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, you know, we want to have a good sense of fear. But that we would understand, as I hope Asher understands, as he grows in this relationship with our loving Father, that he would understand that his purity is going to come from his relationship. That yada, that relationship with God. That his purity will come by the power of the Holy Spirit in his life and his desire to live a life that reflects the relationship he has with the God of the universe. That makes sense? So may we never lose our focus. May we always remind everyone we come into contact with that Jesus died for all of us. We all belong to him. We can walk away from it. We can never know about it. And therefore, we will get the judgment that is on the world, unfortunately. But the reality is, we belong to him because he wants to. He told his disciples, I will draw all people to myself. His desire is that all people might be saved. That's his desire, is it not? That's why we say all belong to him. And all we're doing today is confirming that through water and the word, that Asher is a chosen child of God. He's been marked with the cross of Christ on his forehead and upon his heart to mark him as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. So when Satan and the world try to tell him, "You are not precious," he can turn to them and say, "Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. Because I am a child of God." Martin Luther, when he was writing the Small Catechism, he was talking about prayer. He said, "You should make the sign of the cross in the morning when you pray and in the evening when you pray." And people go, "Well, I don't know about making the sign of the cross." And why did he say that? Because he wanted us to remember our baptism, to remember that no matter what comes up against us, that we belong to the King of the universe, that we belong to the Lord of Lords. We belong to Jesus who died for us. We, by grace, have that relationship with him, and that he wants to walk with us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to carry us. He wants to give us the power to live as his people and his children each and every day. Isn't that an awesome gift? Does that help us a little bit to understand what John is saying? How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. For that is who we are. Amen? We are children of God, and it is my prayer that you will strengthen that relationship with him. That's why we come here each Sunday. That's why we're here for these little Easters. You know, someone asked me, you know, why do we worship on Sunday when the Sabbath is Saturday? Sabbath actually goes from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday. And I said, well, that's because for us, each Sunday is a little Easter. Each Sunday is for us to remember that it was when Jesus rose from the dead, when the empty tomb was there, as a testimony to the Father's love, that he would send his Son into the flesh to be our salvation, to be our redemption, so that we could truly know that he has won victory over sin, death, and the devil. And that's what the empty tomb proves. So that we could know we belong. So we could be in that relationship of believing. And that we could become more like him. And walk with confidence so that when things come up against us, which they will, right? How many of us have felt like we weren't that important? How many of us have felt like we weren't that worthy? How many of us have let the world teach us that we really don't matter a whole lot? How many of us have felt that if it wasn't for our social security number, nobody would even know we exist? I mean, do you understand why this is so important? Why knowing how great the Father's love for us is and how he has lavished it upon us so we might understand and know and have that relationship so that we can say to the world and our sinful nature and to Satan, we belong to God. We are heirs of everlasting life. We are royalty. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And therefore, we have worth. Therefore, we matter to the God who created all things. Therefore, we know, no matter what people say, no matter what the world says, no matter what Satan wants us to hear, we know that we are precious. We are precious and loved. And loved. And not only are we loved, but God wants to lavish that love upon us so that we can be in that relationship with him and have the power to live as his people each and every day. Do you know why when we celebrate a baptism, I always say, you know, if we could only hear heaven right now, what would we hear? Luke chapter 15, what? Singing. We would hear a celebration like no other celebration. Pardon me? Applause. We would hear shouting. We would hear praise. We would hear all the things that, you know, It's hard for us to imagine, but we would hear heaven rejoicing is the word that's used in Scripture. In Luke chapter 15, we would hear all of heaven rejoice. Because today, Asher was brought into the kingdom as God's affirming that he belongs, that he is God's child. And it's a reminder for all of us, isn't it? That every time we turn to the Lord, he's like that prodigal father who comes racing to us, who says, "You're mine. You belong to me. I love you." And no matter what the world says, no matter what you come up against, he's always there for us. You belong. You belong. You belong. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. For that is who we are.